listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns for the latest news, photos, videos, and more straight from the team. Like them on Facebook at Cleveland Browns. Follow them on Twitter at Browns and on Instagram at Official Browns. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, wrapping up another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And it was a day at the OTAs dominated by the defense. Some interceptions there. Certainly they had a couple from Johnny Manziel, one from Brian Hoyer. And we heard Anthony Armstrong, who I thought gave some great insights. And really, what a professional, consummate professional there, talking about how right now Hoyer is just a little more versed in the offense, a little quicker in his progressions, get a little bit better sense of the timing of the offense. And Johnny, while he is getting better, still could be a beat slow here or there in getting through his progressions, to be expected. And that's what we saw, and that's why I keep saying all along, this isn't a competition. It's Brian Hoyer's job until Johnny can get at least close enough to him mentally that he allows his physical talents and the Johnny plays, which there were a couple today, to take over and allow, you know, a real competition between he and Hoyer. But right now, Hoyer just more prepared, more well-versed, and you heard Anthony Armstrong say it, and not in a disparaging way, saying that's just what it is right now, and that's probably the way that it should be right now with a veteran versus a rookie here in the National Football League.
Yeah, it's an honest assessment, and I think a balanced and fair assessment. Look, he's got no allegiance or loyalties to anybody. He's looking at this thing very much like somewhat like a semi-outsider. I mean, he's part of this football team, and he wants the best, and he wants success. But his years of experience tell him, you know, this is what you're looking for. This is what a good quarterback does. This is what young quarterbacks do. This is what it means when a quarterback's struggling. You heard him also talk about the route running and about the idea that you have to stay the same in this Kyle Shanahan scheme. It's emphasized that you run an identical route to begin with, and then you hear that term stem, and it, you know, picture a tree with stems. So you're running however you run that first route, that first line, so to speak, and whatever that distance is, run it the same way every time, but then you're changing up the action when you come to the moment of truth that you're going to make your move. And that's when you've got, you don't want to have defenders feel that, well, if you're cutting it short here or doing a little something another way, that is an indicator of where you're going. So it takes a veteran, a professional, to know that repetitious thing, that over and over act of trying to handle this and do it effectively, which is what I think he's capable of showing these other receivers and the quarterbacks to learn that too. I think they've got to learn the receivers' tendencies in a big way, especially number two.
Especially number two, and that's what they're going to be doing. And got a question here before we get to after further review on our Twitter feed that just came in right now from at BCozy27. He says, with all the wide receivers brought in here, who do you see staying? Anthony Armstrong, does he have a shot? And when you look at this group, you think, what, they'll end up ultimately carrying five receivers?
I think that's a fair number right now.
All right, so we'll go off the number five.
Let's use five. Could be more, so but I think it's five.
Gordon, I imagine, will stick. I would imagine that Miles Austin, if healthy, sticks. Burleson, if healthy, sticks. Hawkins, that's four right there. So the fifth spot could come down to Charles Johnson, Earl Bennett, Anthony Armstrong, Travis Benjamin, you would have to think is going to end up with the roster spot.
Right, because he has to be. That's why I'm saying six, because I think you
could be six.
Count,
you got to account for Benjamin.
Right now, I mean, because again, Austin not on the field, Burleson not on the field, and we'll see how they both come together. You have to go in with somewhat of a presumption on that. However, I would say Armstrong to me has shown as much as anyone has on a consistent basis to certainly command a chance. Now, he's going to be evaluated, you know, on a day-to-day basis. But look, Kyle Shanahan wants one of two things. He would like this guy to, at the very least now in the teaching process, be that coach in pads for him, which he is. He knows his role. He understands his role, right? And who understands this offense better from a receiver perspective?
Nobody
better
here
than him.
Nobody in this.
So then the skill separation is everything else too. But he's got that big play skill and that ability. So I'd say when you're in a state of flux with Gordon, and that's the other what if here, because if Gordon's out of your mix for however long he's out of your mix, that creates an opening too. So you got to go in with the mindset that would create an opening.
And I think that could help him because in some senses
help
AA make this squad, because you're talking about, as Doug Deacon said, if you are without, in fact, Josh Gordon, you need somebody who can still take the top off of a defense. And Anthony Armstrong in his most productive season in the NFL averaged nearly 20 yards a catch, 7 pass plays of more than 40 yards. He was the epitome of taking a top off of a defense, and he still looks pretty darn fast to me, and he's gotten deep multiple times in these OTAs. But that wide receiver battle and for those roster spots is going to be very interesting, because there are some undrafted free agent rookies that I know have turned some heads.
Right.
Willie Snead, I know Justin Taylor Gabriel, who we have not even gotten a chance to really see, young guy from Abilene Christian. We haven't seen him. He, I know, turned some heads early in the rookie mini camp. You've got, obviously, Charles Johnson, who a lot of people are eager to see to get on the field, plus this mix of the veterans, Bennett, Armstrong, Burleson, Austin, that are out there. It's going to be... That's going to be one of, believe it or not, one of the more hotly contested position battles for this team.
For sure.
All right, let's get into a little after, further review. Let's bring in the great Casey Kulis with us. What's up, Casey?
After further review.
If you were the Browns management, would you take the lead and suspend Josh Gordon before the NFL does?
Going to be an easy one and a quick one since we are up against the clock. No.
No, not at all.
Not a chance.
And you got to let this, you really got to let this play out, too. I know you can do it, but I think you got to let it play out. This is not, to me, a cut and dried that you get rid of him now. Let him have his chance to, quote, learn that lesson from the NFL.
After further review.
If Josh Gordon does end up getting suspended by the NFL, who do you see stepping up and becoming the leader of the WR Corps?
Well, when you look at this wide receiving core for the Browns, if there is no Josh Gordon, I think the leader is going to have to be Miles Austin. You're going to want him to be the guy who can kind of come in and carry the torch and be that number one guy. He's a multiple-time Pro Bowler, multiple-time over 1,000 yards. Now, it's been a while since he's done that, but I think what you're going to see is kind of a hodgepodge where you're going to see some Austin, some Burleson, some Andrew Hawkins, and really the guy who could step up and be the de facto number one receiver for this team is the tight end, Jordan Cameron.
I'm going to say Burleson because I think he's wired to be more of that leader kind of guy.
After further review...
Does it concern you that Carlos Dansby has not been part of OTAs?
Well, it was a little bit of a concern before this week, but Dansby has returned to Berea and is practicing today, practice yesterday. He seems to be back, looks very good out there. So just it's nice to see him back and showing these guys that, hey, even a veteran at my age in these voluntary mini camps, it's important to me to be here when I'm healthy to be here. They said he had a minor injury that he was working on his own, got that taken care of. He's back now. So very happy to see Carlos Dansby back out there. And he's just so long.
Yeah.
That's what stands out to me. So long.
So tall. Yeah, no problem at all with that. He was tending to what was minor from an injury standpoint, but something he dealt on his own. If I had issues or concerns about him being out of shape or anything like that, sure, I might have some concern. None there. If anything, he will be the standard setter for being in shape, not only for the, quote, older guys, not that there are many in that 30-plus age group like him, but the younger guys and longevity in this league and how you maintain that and how you take good care of your body. And I think he is legitimately, you know, the solid leader that this team has and needs.
After further review.
The most impressive thing you have seen during the 4 weeks of OTAs has been what?
I'll go one on the offense, and I'll go with Jordan Cameron. I think Jordan Cameron has been a guy that I've been looking at to be a stud and has been better than even I've expected. He's been dominant every day, even on days where the defense beats up on the offense. When we go back and we talk about, well, they got one touchdown. Well, who was it? It was Jordan Cameron. To me, he's been the most impressive guy that I have seen during these 4 weeks of OTAs. We'll get to more people tomorrow on the show and maybe even Thursday talking about kind of some OTA awards. But Jordan Cameron, to me, has been so impressive.
No disagreement there for me, but I would add this. I'd hasten to add this because I'm going to give you a different answer. I'm going to say it's the defensive pass coverage in general because it wasn't just a today thing. This has really been throughout the OTAs that secondary group, and it's not just the starters. It's not just Joe Hayden. I mean, right across the board, you've seen very tight coverage. Quarterbacks are throwing into tight windows. It does make Jordan Cameron's performance all the more impressive because he's done this against this kind of coverage. He did it today on a red zone touchdown catch. But in general, I think the lack of separation that receivers has had has made a statement. And I think when we were standing with Mike Pettine on the sideline today, you can see that smile as he's watching this practice. This is exactly model. This is what he wants to see. As much as you can take from June 3rd, you know, with the season still away, I know it'll get here soon enough, but still when you're long still before training camp, as much as you can take out of, again, pitch and catch OTAs when it's difficult to do the pitching and catching because the defense is doing its job for a head coach whose whole existence and being is based on that, I think you got to feel pretty good.
The other guy that I want to give a little shout out to was Andrew Hawkins. Seeing this guy operate in person is one thing. I tweeted out one of the unbelievable videos of him from his one-on-one drills today on YouTube, but just seeing him in person day in and day out, going full speed all the time, so fast, so shifty, so elusive. He's also been somebody that I would give kind of, in terms of just impressive, his physical abilities are flat out impressive.
They are. They really are. And, you know, to notice those two guys on a regular basis when the defense has generally been winning most of the battles is making a statement. And it's also to have that happen when I don't know that any of the quarterbacks has actually distinguished himself as anything special. We would agree that Brian Hoyer has been ahead of Johnny Manziel and everybody else. Connor Shaw, you know, his reads are good. You like watching the way this guy sees things, but he just doesn't have the arm. You know, he just can't get the ball there in time. And that's what you're saying is, okay, why was it that he got passed up in the draft? He didn't pass the arm test. But anyway, we'll be interesting to see how all of this continues to move forward. Fun show today. We want to thank Anthony Armstrong, wide receiver for the Browns, for joining us. Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. We want to thank Josh from ESPN in Arizona.
Yes, we certainly do. Our guy, Wine Fuss.
And I
like wine. I don't like fuss.
Not much fuss, but that dude gave us a nice breakdown of the Arizona Cardinals.
It was
for
thorough.
Sure. Very
he was
thorough.
A good man and thorough wine for fuss. You Lebowski fans out there.
And we want to thank our producers, of course, the one and only Jason Gibbs, for getting everything kind of together and making sure we had a nice listen to on the Mike Pettine press conference. Want to thank Casey Kulis for his phenomenal work, as usual, keeping us on the rails. Julian Gerard is next. For Nathan, I'm Vic. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford, big mailbag Wednesday, and OTA awards handed out on CBD.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.